Bienvenidos. Good to see you all. Is that the way you would say it? Thank you. Okay. Hola, and it's great to see you. Good to be back. And I'm going to invite, Bob. There's Bob, the light, you know. Bob and Nicole and Gabby. If you guys would come on up to the front and we'll all stand together, give some reports from the trip and just a wonderful week. Before members of our team speak, I'm going to read a note from one of the members of Faro de la Costa down in Montevideo, Uruguay, South America. Her name is Laura, pronounced Laura, and she says, "My dear Northwest, thank you, everyone. I love you in Jesus. You support my life and my Faro, my lighthouse, with your prayers and love from Texas and with every team. God bless you very much." She put an upside-down exclamation mark at the beginning of that sentence. I don't know what that's all about. So, "God bless very much everyone and families and the church. Our Father give you more and more of his grace. I love you from Uruguay, Laura," Revelation 22, verse 12. So it's a wonderful note from Laura. And now we'll hear from Bob, Nicole, and Gabby.
I'll ask you guys to evaluate whether or not what we had prayed for before we went down came to pass. But two things that really impressed me on this trip this time was what I would call answered prayer and the heart of the people. One thing that I always pray before any missionary team goes out, including our own, is Romans 1, 11, and 12. "For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine." The heart of Faro. Pastor Ali served us and his flock. This was seen during the time he spent with us, especially in the use of the sledgehammer and in the encouraging words. He continued to give us a vision for Uruguay by his passion for the people. The boys, and I'm mentioning Alejandro, Sergio, Fernando, and Enzo. These were young men, they were all between 17 and probably 22, that helped us on Saturday and throughout the week with the use of the sledgehammer. This was especially helpful when we were getting weary throughout the week. They also invited us to play basketball and ping pong with them. I'm sad to say that the Americans did not do very well. The ladies, I cannot mention them all, but they served good meals to us twice a day, introducing us to new foods which were delicious. They were also asking about the last team that came, how they were doing. Lotta especially was interested and communicated much of her heart in sharing how she has been praying for them and her concern for each of the individual members of the team and others. Some of the other team members have talked about or will be talking about these people on our team, so I'm going to leave it to them. The heart of Northwest. Prior to leaving, Jackie and Regina communicated that they would be praying for us consistently, which I knew was a reflection of the heart of Northwest. I also want to thank those from Northwest who gave financially to help meet our needs while we were there. Dave. I have always been appreciative of Dave's servant heart, but this trip impressed upon me the greater depth of it. With the use of the sledgehammer, there was no equal around Dave. I was tempted to have Charlie put a sound clip up with the picture of Dave swinging the hammer. He is a maniac. His sermon on David and Goliath encouraged both Faro and me. Gabby. I did not know Gabby very well before we went. This trip has showed me his heart for God and for others. He was an encourager and swung a pretty mean sledgehammer himself. If you get a picture of the sledgehammer swinging quite frequently, you understand what we did. Aaron. I did not know Aaron very well before we went. With the sharing of her testimony, her work in painting the church, her gentle and quiet spirit was shown. Nicole, I have already observed Nicole's gentle spirit when she taught Sunday school class at Northwest. But her servant heart was shown as she and the other girls served without complaint as they hammered and painted. Shannon, my daughter, I know very well, but God showed me another side of her at Faro. I have always known of her hard work ethic, but this once shy girl gave a wonderful testimony, and matter of fact, all of the members of Northwest did, of how God drew her to him. It has been a great encouragement seeing God work in her life to shape her into the woman she is today. Myself, I served where I could, but I still felt like the inadequate one. I received the most from those in Faro and Northwest and felt like I had done the least. I was blessed. As for prayer, time does not permit me to go through all the answered prayer from the weather to the luggage to the safety and to the return trip. But again and again, our God showed that he was and is faithful. I want to thank you, Northwest, for allowing me to serve in this capacity.
Good morning. I just first wanted to mention how wonderful it was to sing a song in English this morning. That was really nice to understand all of it. All right. We had a great week. Before going, we had meetings talking about whether we wanted to be a part of this early on. And it was something I was interested in from the very beginning. But I wasn't quite sure why. I kind of thought of, you know, I love to travel. I wanted to experience something different, but that was most of it, you know. It wasn't anything bigger than that. So I decided to go. I prayed, you know, thought about it, and could do it, and decided to go ahead and go. But it wasn't until about the second day there, I believe, that we're sitting down and Dave asked us, what do you expect to get out of this? You know, just as a group, we kind of went around and said what we expected or to get out the experience. And I said then, I didn't know, you know. Honestly, I didn't. I didn't know what would happen, you know. I just, like I said before, wanted to go and went. So as the week progressed, I started to see things and feel things and kind of understand why I did end up going. It wasn't one of those powerful kind of knock you over experiences. It was a bunch of the little things that kind of came together to be, you know, more powerful. There were just so many little things that got to me. The love of the people there, you know, greeting everyone with a kiss, which was like, whoa, at first. But, you know, you get used to it. Well, you have to. But it was great just that these people that don't even know me, you know, were getting that close. You know, that would never happen here. And just the hospitality, these women would come to the church at about 9:40, 10 o'clock in the morning and start preparing our lunches, you know, and we wouldn't eat till 1. They were working this whole time, you know, and I'm a vegetarian, and every meal they had something either special for me, just for me, or everyone ate something that I could eat. It was just amazing to me. You know, here I was before the experience thinking, you know, I'll probably be hungry, you know, picking at things. And they didn't, you know, they had it where I didn't have to do that. So it was really great. Also, we, as a team, were able to work together. We had great teamwork between the six of us. And each morning before we would go, we would try to have some group prayer time. And that was really special to me. Just that experience to think about the day and what we were going to do together as a team was amazing. Also, the weather. The weather winter down there, but you wouldn't know it. It was 60 degrees, you know, sunny, warm. It was great. We were all safe throughout the work that we had to do, hammering. You know, there could have been many accidents that could have occurred, and they didn't. We were all safe throughout. Another important thing that touched me was my opportunity to prepare a testimony. I'd never given a testimony before, and it was kind of daunting not only to do that, but to have to be translated doing that. So one sentence, stop, kind of look, and go again. So it was just great to not only reflect on my past and my journey, but to be able to share that with people. The last thing that really touched me, another little thing, was Dave's sermon on Sunday morning, which I really, it's just funny because every now and again you hear one of those sermons that you just kind of, it speaks to you and you knew you were meant to hear it. And it just seemed funny to me that I had to go to Uruguay to hear a sermon. But it was amazing. It really spoke to me. It was about David and Goliath, and Dave talked about facing your giants, and I really needed to hear it, and was amazed. So anyway, all those little things just came together to be just a big impact on me, and just had an amazing time, and hope to go from here. My heart is full, and I'm praying that, you know, I go from here where God wants me to go from here. So, and that's all. Thank you.
Good morning. It's really good to see you all again. Another proof of teamwork, of the quality of the teamwork in this team that just came back, is that these people just said everything that I wanted to share with you, too. So the good thing is that that leaves me with these two pages worth of a short little story, if you want, about two people that we met down there that I wanted to share with you right now. And just so you know, I agree with everything that was just being said, and it was a very positive and joyous experience. But what I'm about to read is a little bit more on the darker side, just so that you know. While there is a light shining down there in Montevideo, it only shines because of the darkness around it. And so this is a way to sort of share this darkness. It's about two people, Ramon and Adrian. And I'll just go ahead and read this right now. When I look back at this trip in months or years to come, odds are these two names will likely be the two most vibrant in my memory. Never have I been more aware of the words of Jesus in Matthew 25, verse 40. I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. Ramon and Adrian. Ramon started attending Faro de la Costa 4 weeks ago. He was one of the first to greet us this past Sunday morning, as we walked into the sanctuary. Ramon is one of those busy bees that you barely see on Sundays, as they put up more chairs for you to sit on. They clean up the spilled coffee on the floor so you don't slip and hurt yourself, or help clear the dishes off the table as the fellowship and lunchtime activities dwindle down. Yet the moment you turn around to thank them, they're already gone. You see, Ramon is a volunteer in the literal sense of the word. He desires to be helpful and does not get any money for his work, or any work for that matter, not in a while. Ramon is unemployed and homeless. Worse, he's also old. I don't know where he sleeps at night, but something tells me he doesn't always know either. His Sunday best is probably the same as his Monday best and his Tuesday best, but he wears it with dignity. His collar is stained, and his tennis shoes have seen better days, but he's clean. And he's here with us this morning. And he, capital H, is here with us this morning. Or more accurately, around us, on the side, talking when talked to, which is not often. There's a lot of laughter and loud conversation across the room packed with brothers and sisters this morning, and Ramon tentatively moves from one group to another, hoping for a lull, an in. But mostly he stays on the side like a wallflower, like the least of us. Ramon and Adrian. All of us at some point in our lives will need help. In the body of Christ, it particularly should resonate with us, since our faith is based partly on our understanding of our sinful nature, which doomed us to eternal salvation and about which we could do nothing. So if anybody should know what it's like to need help, it should be us. But even after our miraculous rescue, chances are we still need help in a very real way at some point in our life. Some of us might need it more and for longer than others. Some will need it and not ask for it, and others will need less than what they clamor for. When Ramon first came to Pharaoh, he had no teeth left. He also had no health care benefits, since he could not afford to pay the administrative fees required for him to even apply for these benefits. Pastor Ali and the church gave him new teeth and helped him pay for the fees so he could get the help he needed. And so he's been coming back every week since, started helping around the church. This morning, and I speak about last Sunday, he told me all of this, and even with my broken Spanish, I understood him. He told me he wanted to earn back his help. I understood him. He asked me at what time the demolition work would start in the morning so he could come help and earn his pay back, and I understood him. He used the word self-respect a lot. And this old man with new teeth and deep black eyes who helps people park at the grocery store for tips for a living, this old man who looks kind of raggedy because he probably doesn't own a razor, this man who looks like your grandpa, and he didn't want pesos or dollars, he wanted self-respect. But as the humble soul that he is, he didn't demand it either. He commanded it with his action, his steadfastness, the way his eyes gleamed as he looked into mine and called me hermano, brother, the way he looked embarrassed as the pastor invited him to sit with him at the lunch table. His quietness deafened me. How can one be so cheated of stature and worthiness by this world and yet ooze dignity with every ounce of himself? By being the least of these, because the least of these is the king. Ramon and Adrian. Last Sunday was Adrian's birthday. He's now 11. The whole church wanted to make him feel special, so Pastor Ali invited him up front, and we all sang happy birthday and cheered for him, and he didn't crack a smile. Not that he was sad or angry. When Pastor Ali asked him what he wanted for his birthday, he answered, after thinking about it, a bicycle. And I have a feeling that he had in mind not just the sheer fun of owning a bicycle, but also the practical aspect of it as a mode of transportation. Because Adrian is a man who happens to be 11 years old. He's a man because he alone is in charge of the well-being of his brothers. He raises them because his parents are nowhere to be found. So Adrian doesn't get a lot of time to just be an 11-year-old. He has children he's in charge of. That's why when you see his serious face suddenly brighten up upon receiving his gift of two beach paddles and a ball, when you catch a glimpse of the relief he briefly gets when he's at church playing basketball or eating lunch, when you realize that thanks to the open arms and open doors of his family in Christ, he finally gets to be an 11-year-old for a while, it overwhelms your heart. And you thank God that in his great provision, he has placed a bright beam of hope in the midst of the darkest night for this little man. And that you get to see a happy 11-year-old kid on his birthday. Thank you.